We thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus.
That you are here. You are present. You're not on the cross. You're not in the tomb. You're seated at the right hand of your Father in heaven. All authority belongs unto you. And with your authority, you choose to be present with humanity. You choose to draw near to the brokenhearted. You choose to gather yourself around the orphan and the widow. Those whose the eyes of the world may overlook, the eyes of the Lord are fixed upon. And that is you tonight, my friend. You are not beyond the gaze of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whether you know him or not, it doesn't matter. He knows you. Tonight he sees you. Tonight he desires to fill your life with his love. So I pray right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would fill this room, fill this building, that this would be a sacred place, Jesus, where divinity would collide with humanity, where the cross would come alive in the hearts of your sons and daughters. Those who currently know you, may we be reawakened to the preciousness of that which we have found in Christ Jesus. And to those who do not yet know you, I pray that tonight may be the beginning of the great awakening to the God of love that gave his life for them, and their awakening of their own value and worth as a son and daughter of the Lord God Almighty. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your presence. Breathe, O breath of God. Fill every heart with confidence. Fill every heart with peace. Fill every soul with a hopeful expectation of the days that lay before them. There's a family here, and you've received troubling news about a loved one, an illness, a sickness. And it is a poor report in the terms of medicine. But God is wanting you to know tonight that you are not forsaken, that this person that you love, he loves, that they are not forsaken by God, that they will emerge from this healed by the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord. Do not lean on your own understanding. People will think you've gone a bit crazy because you're not freaking out. You say, my trust is in the Lord, my Lord God Almighty. I will not allow my heart to be troubled. And God is with your family. He is with your loved one. You wait and see what the enemy meant for evil. God is going to turn this thing around in your family for good. Give God some praise in his church tonight. You can grab a seat as you do. Awesome. Thank you, team. Well, it's so good to see you on this Good Friday. Happy Easter. You're all looking fabulous. You're all looking like you are not overindulging in Easter eggs just yet. That's because a whole lot of you are fasting. You God-filled men and women of God. Fabulous prayer meetings have been going on all through the weeks leading up to Easter. And if you're here tonight and you're one of our regulars, welcome. If you're a regular visitor that comes to Taupō over the Easter weekend, so good to have you back with us in this great part of Aotearoa for the Easter weekend. So if you are a visitor, welcoming. If it is your first time in church tonight, or your first time back in a long time, I'm so proud of you. And I'm so thrilled that you are here, and the person that brought you here, I'm proud of you too for sharing the gospel. Pastor Sarah, you know, mentioned it in her communion message that we are guardians of the gospel. We have been entrusted with this message to preach it and to share it and to invite other people into it. It's called not putting your light under a bowl, but letting it shine before mankind. So if you are here for your very first time in church or here for a long time, I'm so proud that you're here. You are in a place that is like no other place in all the earth. You are in church. This is the house of God. This is where God's people gather together to do what we do tonight, to sing, to praise, to worship, and to encounter heaven. When God's people gather, He turns up. You'll feel it. You'll feel the presence of God around your life. Some people feel warm. Some people feel peaceful. Some people just want to cry. If you're a crier here tonight, it's all good. We're all criers. We've all done the tears. And you think, I don't know why I'm crying. I'm just crying. And it normally comes with a bit of handshaking. Like some of that's, you can shake your hands all you want. Tears aren't going to stop. It's God getting around your life. It's called the presence of God. And God is here tonight. And tonight I have a very, very simple message. For many of you, this message will not be a new message, but may it waken again your faith and gratitude for the life that you have in Christ Jesus, who on this night, just over a couple of thousand years ago, died in our place on a rugged old cross. He took our punishment upon Himself, and He purchased for you and I eternal life, the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life with God in heaven. And for some of you, this will be the very first time hearing this message of Easter, the message about Jesus Christ, what we call the gospel, which is good news. And my friend, indeed, it is good news. The message of Easter, yes, it's a time with friends and family. It's an extended weekend, but the good news of Easter is that there is a Lord and Savior called Jesus Christ who gave His life on our behalf to buy back for us something that we gave away and that we could never get back through our own works or through our own merit, but only through His perfect life, death, and resurrection could Jesus Christ purchase back for us that which we lost. And so when I ask you, very shortly, if you'd like to invite this Savior, Jesus Christ, into your life, I would encourage you, implore you. I could not recommend it enough that you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Soon in this message, I'll ask everyone to close their eyes. And in that moment of reflection and privacy, I'll ask you to raise your hand in a signal that you're asking and inviting Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, the God of Easter, but the God of all of humanity, into your life. Do not delay. Do not be concerned with who is on your left and who is on your right. Do not be concerned with who is in front of you or who is behind you. But be concerned for your eternal well-being. Be concerned for yourself that when your life draws to a close, and may it not be for a long time, but I can assure you at some point your life will draw to a close, that it will close with confidence and excitement as you pass through the veil of death into the actual life that is before you. Do not delay in receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do not put it off for a more convenient time or an older time or another time. Tonight is the time, my friend, young person, old person, to receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. You're here tonight because God is real and He loves you. And He wants nothing more than for you to share in the goodness, the richness of what Easter truly means. When I was young, I had a favorite book, and it wasn't the Bible. It was like when I was young. And it was called Are You My Mother? It was written by P.D. Eastman and it was illustrated by Dr. Seuss. It was elementary. It was a simple children's book. But now as an adult and reflecting back on it, it's like a modern day parable. It's a story of a baby bird hatched while his mother is away from the nest. As he rises to look for his mother, the baby bird falls from his nest, down, 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 thump onto the ground. And in his absence, he decides to go looking for her. But because the baby bird has never met his mother, he doesn't actually know who he is looking for. And in his pursuit to find his mother, he walks right by her while the mother bird is foraging for food. He passes her by, not realizing that the very person, the very mother that he's looking for, he has passed by. And as his pursuit goes on, his search goes on to find his mother, he sets out and he asks everyone that he meets, "Are you my mother?" The cat, the dog, the cow, and the list goes on, and the boat, the plane, etc., etc., until at the very drawing to the end of the book, he comes to a great big digger. And he asks the digger, "Are you my mother?" And the digger replies, "Oh, he is not his mother." And the digger takes this baby bird on the tip of one of the great big teeth of his bucket, and with his arm, he stretches up high and he places this baby bird back within its nest. What does this have to do with Easter? This has everything to do with Easter. This is the condition of every person on earth, all who have ever been, all who are, and all who will come. Every single person is on a pursuit to find their place of belonging and identity. Every human being is programmed within our DNA genetic code to search and find the place in which we came from. So the question must be asked, where did we come from? Sure, you came from your mother and father biologically. You were physically created through an interaction between a man and a woman to bring you into the earth. I'm not talking about that place of belonging. I'm talking about the man within the man and the woman within the woman. The question that we must ask ourselves, where did I come from and where am I going? And to refuse to ask this question of yourself is to do yourself the greatest disservice you can ever do. We must all at some point look within our hearts and ask ourselves the question, where is it that I have come from and where is it that I am going? And as the baby bird fell from its nest out of its place of safety and belonging, so every human being has fallen from our place of original identity and belonging. The Bible makes it incredibly clear that says, like sheep without a shepherd, we have all gone astray. And Jesus came into this earth and he called himself the Good Shepherd, a shepherd to regather humanity to himself, and not just to himself, but to regather humanity unto his Father in heaven. Genesis 1 verse 26 says this, "Then God said, let us, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit," God the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they're all there together. It's a collaborative approach. "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind, what? In his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. With all the other things that God created, he never blessed them until he created humanity. He said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and over every living creature that moves along the ground. Despite what popular science would like to tell you, you did not emerge from a puddle of mud. Your existence is not due to a cosmic accident at some point, somewhere, sometime that caused something to happen, that then something else happened. And if we add a whole lot of years together, at some point humanity emerged. That is not your whakapapa. That is not your lineage. That is not your DNA, young person, old person, male, female. You were created by God in His image. You were created by God so that when you see Him, you see yourself, and when He sees you, He sees Himself. That is why our Savior, Jesus Christ, had to be a man. He wasn't a symbol. He wasn't a picture of something angelic. He was a picture and a person because that is who He was dying for, and that is who He was making a way for. He was making a way for us. Our image, our place of belonging and identity is in God. He created us. You are not the byproduct of a knuckle-dragging Neanderthal. You were created by the most intelligent being in the universe, being God Himself, and He knew what He was doing when He made you. Do not buy in to a Big Bang theory or it evolving from a single-cell organism. You've got so much DNA in you. You could write a book 600,000 pages long, 500 words per page, and every human has different code telling a different story. That is the byproduct of intelligent design. Wow. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where You're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. There is within you another you. The real you. The you that makes you you and doesn't make you somebody else. This you is the God you. The you that is destined to be connected to the God of love. And it is through Jesus Christ, it is through what took place at Easter time that the real you is connected to God, and that is when the real you comes alive. That is when you find where you belong and you find where you are going. And just like that little bird looking for its mother, we are all people looking for our Father. At the end of the story, the mother and the baby are reunited. And the mother bird asks the baby bird, do you know who I am? And after looking all around the place, cats, cows, dogs, boats, planes, diggers, and the mother says, do you know who I am? And he looks at her and he sees himself. And he says, yes, I know who you are. You are My mother. You see, when you look at Jesus, when we see Jesus, we see the Father. He said of Himself that He is the exact representation of God. That when we see Jesus, we see the Father. And when we see Jesus, we see ourselves. And Jesus said that through the cross and through Easter, He is going to make a way that we can be lifted up again and put into our place of belonging and safety and identity. Like Jesus is like that great big digger who takes you in His hand, and through the cross and through the death and through His ascension out of the grave and into heaven, He has taken you with Him, and He lifts you up and He places you again with God. And God says, do you know who I am? And then tonight you say, I know who you are now. I get it. I see myself when I see you, and when you see me, you see yourself, because you were made in the image of God. Not a mistake, not an accident, but a divine, destined, purposed, intelligent being whose purpose is to be connected with the life source of heaven and live a life that radiates the glory of Christ Jesus as you sojourn here on earth, hopefully and excitedly and wonderfully anticipating the day when you are reunited with God in heaven. He has never lost you, but some of us have lost him. Some of us tonight, we've fallen from the nest. We've wandered looking for our identity in all sorts of other places, in our careers, in our marriages, in our recreational hobbies, on social media, maybe even in substances and things that aren't healthy for us. We've all wandered off, and the pursuit that has driven us is the pursuit to belong, the pursuit to fit, the pursuit to find something or the someone that is going to connect and meet the ache that is in the heart of humanity, which is to see and know their God. It's in your code. You're like a homing pigeon. You're designed to find your way back to Jesus. There's something within you that compels you, that draws you, like a hunger that doesn't matter what you feast on, it isn't fulfilled. It's because as we share communion tonight, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the fullness and the goodness, the sustenance for your soul. It's time for you to find him tonight. It's time for you, my friend, to receive Jesus Christ into your life. To allow him to lift you up in his unmerited grace and mercy and place you with his Father in heaven. This is very broad and very deep teaching. You've got to trust me on this. He loves you. Tonight, give your life into the most trustworthy hands, the hands of Jesus Christ. Why don't you all close your eyes with me? If you're here tonight, that is you. You either need to give your life back to Jesus, or you're here and you've never, ever had the opportunity. God loves you. His love is displayed for you, that he did not spare his own son. While your eyes are closed and before I ask you to read your hand, I'm going to read you a text out of Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 was written 700 years before the life and death of Jesus Christ. 700 years before Christ breathed his first breath, these words were written. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty nor majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised. We held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. yet we considered him punished by God, stricken and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We, all like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him, being Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Every one of us has fallen from the nest, and none of us can ascend back without the assistance of Christ Jesus. Without receiving Christ Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of our lives, we are unable to cross the divide between humanity and divinity. That is why Jesus said of himself that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through him. Who is it tonight and you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, or you need to give your life back to Jesus Christ? Why don't you lift your hand in this place tonight? No one else is looking. This is between you and Jesus. Yeah, God bless you. I see that hand. Yeah, God bless you. I see that hand. Who else is there tonight? You need to ask. Yeah, God bless you. I see that hand. You need to ask yourself tonight, from where have you come and to where are you going? As much as the gospel is preached, there is a responsibility that comes upon each and every individual who hears the gospel to receive it. Who else is there tonight who would put their hand up and say, that is me? Or you need to give your life back to Jesus. You have taken the reins again, taken the responsibility for your life back into your own hands. Give your life back to Jesus. This Easter weekend may be the turning point in your faith. I'm just going to wait a little bit longer. There's people here, and there's a wrestle in their hearts. It's time to surrender again. The breakthrough you need is the breakthrough in you. To let go and let God, to trust him again. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, God bless you at the back. What a guy. What a guy. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you all stand to your feet this evening? You can open your eyes as you do that. We've got a ministry team here this evening, and this team of fabulous people, they would like to pray for you. So I'm going to ask all of you to be courageous. If you put your hand up, I want you to step out of your seat and come down to the front of church. This is called the walk of faith. These people are going to pray for you, the blessing of the Holy Spirit into your life. The blessing of God, the love of God, and the goodness of God to fill your life. So as the band plays, if that was you this evening, you can bring the person, your wife, or your friend that you came with, but I want you to step out of your seat if you put your hand up tonight and come down the front. And as they do, church, give these guys some encouragement. Don't be shy. Come out of your seat. Yeah. Come on. Come up the front, come up the front. Come on, church, give these guys some encouragement. We're so proud of you. We're so proud of you. Ministry team, come and pray for these guys. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the lives right here. I thank you that the hands that were raised were hands that were connected to hearts that are crying out to be connected to this God of love. So I pray now that as these leaders and pastors pray for them, that you'd fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit. Right now, your love would be poured into them, as the scripture says, that your love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for the breaking of depression. Lord, I pray for the breaking off of the spirit of suicide, the spirit of night terrors that seeks to rob them of sleep and sanity. Get off these lives. I proclaim the blood of Jesus Christ over their lives, the blood of the Passover lamb over their lives. That by your stripes, Jesus, they have been healed. Healed of depression, healed of anxiety, healed of wounds of the past, healed of wounds carried in the hearts of your sons and daughters. Bless them. We thank you that this is a sacred moment where these ones have been lifted up, elevated, ascending in Christ Jesus into the heart of God. Bless them. Thank you, Jesus. Guys on the altar, why don't you just look this way? These guys, they can keep praying for you, that's no problem. But you gotta tell someone about your decision. There's undoubtedly someone here who's witnessed your decision. But own it, read your Bible, pray, go to youth group, go to connect group, find your people, and do life with your people. We are so incredibly proud of you. Be in church on Sunday. Keep the flame burning. You're surrounded by people that believe in you, that are incredibly proud of you. But with that, thank you, church. I'm going to hand over to the team to bring the service to a close. But God bless you. Happy Easter.